I want to take you on a short journey, but we're going to begin with Genesis chapter 28. And Father, without your Holy Spirit, this message is not going to fly. But with your Holy Spirit, there will be a great anointing upon this, and I believe God will be able to release to us something that is ready, and it's on time, and it's for now. If you recall, I would take you back to our taking time out on the 9th and the 10th of June, or 8th and 9th, I believe it was, for the day of Pentecost. And there was a transition going on. I remember the real press of knowing that something new was coming out. Something new was happening. And I didn't know what it was, but I believe, I didn't go back over my notes on those 2 days, but I sensed God was really, really pushing buttons to do something, and I didn't comprehend it. Yesterday was a very marvelous day for me. I had a marvelous time with some quality time with the Lord, and I'd like to take you to Jacob's blessing. Chapter 28 of Genesis, verse 1 says, "So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, 'You shall not marry one of the women of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take from there a wife, one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother.'" Verse 3. "God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you until you become a group of peoples. May he give the blessing Abraham, he gave to Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land he gave to Abraham, in which you are a sojourner." Verse 5. "Thus Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel," etc. Verse 7 says, "And that Jacob obeyed his father and mother, and had gone to that Padan Aram." It goes on. Verse 10, "And Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there overnight, because the sun was set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down there to sleep. And he dreamed." I stress the word, he dreamt. "That there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." The word angels has an S on it, so you want to be sure that it's just not one angel. Verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood over and besides him and said, 'I am the Lord your God of Abraham, your father and forefather, and the God of Isaac, and will give to you and to your descendants the land in which you are lying. And your offspring shall be as countless as the dust of the sand and of the ground, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And by you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed and bless themselves.'" Confirmed in Galatians 3:16. "And behold, I am with you, and will keep watch over you with care to notice of you wherever you may go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done all of which I have told you." And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Now, verse 17 says, "He was afraid and said, how to be feared and reverenced in this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. I'd like to remind you that the message upstairs is the gateway. Right in the entrance of the building. Gateway Conference Center. What an odd combination. Churches are in this place. Why? Because God decided that he was sending a friend of mine a dream to let us know that this is where we needed to be. And that there would be marvelous activity. Yesterday, I was on the internet, and I got all excited because I had a press from God to go to White Dove Ministries. And I want to take you on a little ride with me. Paul Geith Davis had quite an article on there, and he said it's called Special Bulletin, Greeting Friends, etc., etc., and I don't want to go into all the details. But he was in Israel, and he said that there were many things that were happening. And while he was in England, his wife was in the Garden of Gethsemane, interceding for him. And so he now wants to give to you and me a little bit of what happened to him a while back. And I don't want to go into all the details, but there is a scripture that says that there will be signs in the heavens and signs in the earth. And on page 3 of his special bulletin, it says, something has happened recently that I feel is one of the most important celestial events in modern history. I believe it is a marker in the timeline of heaven. We have crossed into a new realm of the release of heaven. Interestingly, it happened on March 19, 2008, which was one day before we started a conference that we felt was very significant called Honoring the Fathers. Now, when my brother Bob Trump and I went down to Connecticut, we tasted a little bit of what they shared along with Bob Jones. We had a promise from God that if we would honor the fathers of the prior generations, that he would release a spirit of revival. The Bible says that the Lord is going to send the spirit and power of Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. That unique anointing will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, lest he come and smite the earth with a curse. And I believe at least for our nation, there has been a curse on our land because of the lack of honoring the fathers. I believe we're to honor the fathers of the prior generation as well as the fathers of the apostolic age. And in many ways, for the Gentile nations, we are to honor Jewish people because they are the fathers of the prior generation to bring us into the covenant of God. Amen? In our conference, we honored many people like William Branham and A.A. Allen. But one day before the conference, something happened in the heavens described by the scientists. How many know there was something that happened when Jesus was born? There was a star. Amen? But this is 2008. There was an explosion of light that was the most enormous recorded release of celestial light ever seen in human history, not just modern history. This celestial event was so tremendous that it happened 7.5 billion light years ago. Did you hear that? And the light has been traveling through space at 671 million miles per hour for 7.5 billion years. One light year is 5.9 trillion miles. So the light traveled through space at 671 million miles per hour for 7.5 billion years and reached planet Earth on March 19th, 2008. And you think that's cool? I think that's super cool. So I'm prophesying to you that the greatest explosion of spiritual light ever witnessed in human history is about to be released in the earth. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and I believe we have irrefutable physical and spiritual evidence that what we're about to share is for right now, not next year, now. So with that, would you please turn to Zechariah 12? Tonight I want to speak to you more from a prophetic point of view for tomorrow, but tomorrow, Lord willing, I will speak to you more about the teaching point of view. I believe everything that we believe and everything we pursue must come from the Word of God. The Lord also will save the tent of Judah first. Did you hear that? That's Zechariah 12. So that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, you understand what you saw now? Will not be magnified above Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. You remember your slingshot? And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him like a bitter weeping over the firstborn. Zechariah 12, verse 7 through 11. I believe it is clear that this prophetic promise has both spiritual and natural implications. Can you imagine a day when the feeblest among you will have the valor of King David? The feeblest, the weakest. What will it be like when the bride of Christ is in such a place of union with God that when we speak, it is as though he spoke? In that day, the people of God will begin to release his anointings, and it will be as though God himself were there to do it. Not because of any presumptuous nature, but because of he himself would be the manifest in and through the body of his people. But he said specifically in this prophecy that there would be a unique form of an angel that would go before this company of people. One, there has been an undeniable link between the progressive unfolding of God for the nation of Israel and for the bride of Christ. In other words, they're both transformed and changed at the same time. And he gives you a little bit of background. In 1896, a book was written by a Jewish man named Theodor Herzl called The Jewish State. It was a prophetic call to the Jewish people back to the land of Israel and back to their inheritance and back to their promises. In the very same year, in 1896, Alexander Dowie commissioned his apostolic church, calling the church back to her inheritance, back to her promised land. Notice it's the same year. Then we saw in 1948, when Israel became a nation, that the Bride of Christ was released into one of the most significant revivals that has been recorded in 2,000 years of church history. Once again, showing undeniable links that as Israel goes, so does the church. 1967, the city of Jerusalem back into the hands of the Jewish people. What else happened in 1967 for the church? The charismatic renewal was born. That's when I was filled with the Spirit, 10 years later. I came at the tail end of that movement. I submit to you that we stand on the threshold of the next release of God's plan. And this same anointing that brings Israel into it will bring the bride of Christ into hers. It has, and it's not something afar off. It is now. Signs in the heavens point to this present hour. We were promised that if we would honor the fathers, that the spirit of revival would be released. And we're seeing that in the same measure taking place now. Zechariah says the angel of his presence will go before them. And if you remember, in the experience that Neville, well, this is part of something that he shared on the earlier part of that, the material. It said that there would be angels coming out of heaven to meet with the saints to prepare them for this calling. Both Paul Keith and this gentleman named Neville had the same vision, dream, during the night, and explained that they saw demons being released from hell into different parts of the country and different parts of the world. And they both saw the same thing, even though several days apart, confirming that they both know that there was a release from the demonic realm. But equally so, there's now being a release of the angelic realm. And that's where we're getting balanced. Now we are discovering that these are just going to be ordinary, not going to be just ordinary angels. These are angels of a very extraordinary nature, coming from standing in the presence of Almighty God. And the word is Isaiah 63, verse 9, declares, "In all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all of the days of old." In other words, they were commissioned and they stayed. And the angel of his presence saved them. We're finding out that this could have been more accurately translated in the original language, messengers of his face. The word used here for angel is most often translated messenger. Hebrews calls them messengers as well, Hebrews chapter 1. The word for presence is most often translated face. The Lord sent the messenger of his face to save them. So that's the trigger that you need to hear. The Lord sent the messengers of his face to save them. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to declare that with me. The Lord sent the messenger of his face to save them. Now he's going to do it for us. Amen? So what I'm prophesying to you is this evening is that messengers of his face are coming from heaven to empower us to become messengers of his face. In other words, they're going to release an anointing in us to change us. Now this is the good stuff. Are you ready? It says in some rabbinical writings that the angel of his presence are high-level angels, also known as angels of his face. According to the book of Jubilee, angels of his presence are angels of sanctification. So what are they going to do? They're going to sanctify you and me. And are among the highest order of angels. According to rabbinical traditions, the angels of his presence are the carriers of his glory. Are you getting ready to prepare yourself to receive that glory? There was an incredible promise given to the patriarch Jacob. He had one of the most fantastic experiences ever given to him. There was something that distinguished him from his brother Esau. I submit to you, it was his undenying desire, even though his methods were poor, to be blessed with a very specific, unique blessing, which I read to you. A very specific and unique blessing is what he was contending for. If you'll remember, Abraham had given a promise that he would have a son through Sarah. However, the promise seemed impossible, since the Bible says his body was as good as dead. Then the Lord appeared to him for the first time in human history as El Shaddai. Now, he's sharing a little bit about, he was in Dallas, Texas. This was Paul Keith. And he was several years ago preaching on the ministry of anointing and the anointing of El Shaddai. I had shared that El Shaddai was the all-sufficient one. How many have heard that before? And the many-breasted one. Well, how do you know that sometimes there's somebody in the audience that has more knowledge than you? Well, like I had read in the dictionaries, there happened to be a professor of Hebrew in the meeting. He came to me after the meeting and said, Can I help you a little bit? He said, what you shared about El Shaddai is not inaccurate. It's just incomplete. Okay? He said, the truest definition of El Shaddai is, I am the God of utter ruin and devastation. Say, I'm serving the God of utter ruin and devastation. How do you like that? The other part of it is, and I am here to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. So, El Shaddai means, I am the God of utter ruin and devastation, and I am here to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Are you ready to serve El Shaddai? Are you ready for that blessing? God, you guys are asleep. Abraham was not able to fulfill the promise now in his own strength. God did it for him. What he could not do for himself, that's called the El Shaddai blessing. Are you hearing? Can I submit to you that Israel needs in this very hour, or what Israel needs for this very hour, is the El Shaddai blessing? Can I equally submit to you that the bride of Christ needs the El Shaddai blessing as well? Good place for an amen. That blessing was then transferred and imparted from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac received the blessing given to Abraham to be fruitful and multiply, which is what we started with, and occupy the land of his sojourning. That was the blessing that Jacob had to have, even if he were to become a supplanter to get it. In other words, he was a trickster, but he still accomplished the fact. When the time came, Isaac laid his hand upon Jacob and blessed him with the El Shaddai blessing. He said, may God Almighty, or El Shaddai, bless you to make you fruitful and multiply and occupy the land of your sojourning. That very day, that blessing opened the heavens over Jacob. With that blessing, Jacob traveled one day's journey. When evening came, he laid his head upon the rock and saw the heavens open and the angels ascending and descending. We need the El Shaddai blessing to open the heavens for us as it did for Jacob. Are you ready? We need the El Shaddai blessing tonight to open the heavens and release the angels of his presence. The Bible tells us over in Genesis 48, verse 3, when Jacob is recounting that experience to his son Joseph, he said it was El Shaddai that appeared at the head of that ladder. Do you remember I shared with you that God was at the top? Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood over and beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham. He's looking at from the top, looking down at his son, chosen by God. Okay? It was the El Shaddai that appeared at the head of that ladder when the blessing was given to him, Genesis 28, 13. He said, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord your God, the father of Abraham, etc. When Jacob awoke from that experience, he said, this is none other than the house of God, the very gate of heaven. Later on, we find that the descendants of the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage, but they had a promise of deliverance. There was a very specific and unique anointing that was released to them to bring them into this promise that was given to Jacob. The Bible records Exodus 23. Behold, I'm going to send you one angel. No S. Before you. To guard you along the way, to bring you into the peace or the place which I have prepared. But be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, since my name is in him. So the name of God is in the angels of his presence. Are you catching on? Are you seeing a little bit of how awesome this is? But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, Then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, but you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. Notice it's him again that does the work, not you. When you're hopeless, you wait upon El Shaddai to provide. That was no ordinary angel. It was the angel of his presence. That was the pillar of fire in the burning bush. That was the pillar of fire that met Paul on the road to Damascus. That was the pillar of fire that we saw revealed before thousands one generation ago to reveal the secrets of his heart. The Lord manifests himself as the angel of his presence, but he was in his jurisdictional angel of his presence or messenger of his face. Remember that Gabriel said when he appeared to the 15-year-old little girl, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of the Almighty God. The greatest revival that the modern church has ever seen was commissioned in a very unique way. A little free-will Baptist minister withdrew into a cabin deep into the woods of Indiana. He was having a supernatural experience for which he had no grid of understanding. He had told his wife that day, I'm going into my cabin to pray, and if God does not meet with me, you'll never see my face again. He said, I'll die in that cabin before I leave without the Lord coming to talk with me. 3 o'clock in the morning, after having prayed and weep until his eyes were practically shut, he sat on a chair with no more prayer left in him. 3 o'clock in the morning, deep in the woods, no electricity, no running water, no wife to hold on to. If he got scared when suddenly a ball of fire came into his cabin. And if that weren't enough to scare you, a man came walking into the room and stood under the ball of fire. The angel said, fear not, for I am sent from the presence of Almighty God. Can I submit to you tonight that we need to hear an angel come and say, I am sent from the presence of Almighty God? Whoa, you got it. All right. The man was released into his commission. The angel said, your peculiar life and your misunderstood ways are to indicate to you that you're to carry the ministry of healing to the nations of the earth. You'll pray for kings and princes and monarchs. He said, how can it be? I am uneducated man. I'm an uneducated man and a poor man, and I live amongst poor people. The angel said, as Moses was given two signs to validate his ministry, so will you. That was in May 7th, 1946. By 1948, the entire world was in revival. Millions of people came into the kingdom. Millions of people were healed supernaturally by God's power. Never before has any generation been more desperate than ours to see the demonstration of God's power. But we're discovering there is something greater than that, that is to encounter the power of God. Right now, all over the nations, there are people who are following signs and wonders. But I submit to you here, there will be a company of people emerging today with signs and wonders and are going to follow them. The secret that is going to release us into that mandate is when the messengers of God of his face, the messengers of his face come who are the carriers of God's glory. The prophet Moses stood face to face before the Lord Jesus under a covenant sealed with the blood of bulls and goats. I had an experience when I saw the apostle Paul sticking his bony apostle finger right into my chest. He's talking to him about what happened to him. He said Moses had to veil his face because of the residual glory under the covenant sealed with the blood of bulls and goats. He said, you have the covenant sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. What's your problem? This is his admonition and from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In other words, he wasn't saying that we should timidly say, come, can I come into your presence? He was admonishing us to prepare ourselves and to come boldly before the throne of grace and to meet with the Lord face to face. We can do that. We can't do that flippantly. There is throne room protocol. But the grace to live in that place was purchased at the cross, and it is attainable. Say it's for me as well. Zechariah 6, verses 1 through 2 declares, "Now I lift up my eyes again and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth from between the two mountains, and the mountains were bronze mountains. With the first chariot there were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot strong dapple horses. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking to me, 'What are these, my Lord?' The angel replied to me, 'These are the four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth. And I submit to you, there is a host of heaven that has been reserved for this end time. Confrontation that go forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth, the very same ones that will bring the bride of Christ into her end time mandate will be the very same ones that covers and protect Israel.'" Isn't that cool? "You and I are called to be messengers of his face. We have a calling to see the Lord face to face." How many times did you talk to us tonight with your singing, sir, about the angels and about facing the Lord and seeing him face to face? And you had no idea that this message was in my heart. Thank you for your obedience. Jacob had an experience with God. He saw the Lord face to face and lived to tell about it. Moses saw the Lord face to face and carried the glory of God. There is about to be a release from heaven that is to begin to cause you and I to be illuminated. And we're going to shine with the glory of God. Come on, this is a time for amens. Daniel said, "We're going to shine as the brightness of the expanse of heaven." Remember the very first part of this testimony that I shared with you? That light coming from how many billions of light years away? Why is it happening now? It's a sign of your future. And we're going to lead many to righteousness. Say it. I'm going to release myself to get ready for that brightness and to shine through me the righteousness of Christ and lead many to righteousness. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, "The Son of Man is going to send forth his angels that gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks." "And everything offensive. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father." We have an invitation to come up. Hi. Come up here. I believe El Shaddai blessing is going to be released upon us to open the heavens like it did for Jacob. The Lord is going to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Then he gets all the glory. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. Amen? Did you get the message? Put your Bibles down. We need you. Are you ready for those angels to come? Absolutely. Now, if we don't receive, is it because we don't ask? If we ask, we get what we ask for. Amen? Now, how many know that they got a few corners that they want to be changed on the inside that you can't do yourself? Okay, so you know what we're going to get now, right? The work being done that can't be done by us. I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus. We're admitting that there's corners we can't clean up. We're unable to change. Our disability is before us. But we're learning about the angels that watch your face. These special angels are commissioned to be released into this realm. And we need them. We have many corners. We can't change. But El Shaddai You're the answer.
And I'm asking now.
Ready.
Covered by the blood of Jesus.
I enter the throne room now.
And I ask you to fill us
with the hopes and the desires
that will satisfy the ministry
that you have embedded in our DNA.
Our Holy Spirit
is being impregnated with power
to carry out the commission
that you have laid out
inside of us
to really impact Chicopee.
To the north, south, east, and west.
And to go out into the highways and byways.
And this gateway of New England
will be manifesting your presence
all the way to the east coast.
All the way into northern Canada.
All the way down into the Atlantic.
And as far west as you want to take us.
Lord Jesus,
we're asking for these angels to come.
You told your son, Jacob,
that he needed to ask
for that blessing.
And we're not going to let go
until we get this blessing.
If it takes all night,
it's going to be,
we are going to receive
this El Shaddai blessing.
It's for us.
It's for me.
And I welcome your angels, Lord.
I welcome your messengers.
Impact me.
To be able to receive
what you have prepared
just for me.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Koshebea, rosa la lakaya, ola la liela hoyara roko yara basandara lakaya, ora babakatara bakasandara lakashiri eteliatara, ora babakasandara lakashia.
And I remind you that Jacob took those 12 stones and then he poured oil upon them. And the kima hotara bashata tata.
Nothing is too hard for you, El Shaddai.
Have your way, Lord Jesus.
Have your way, Lord Jesus. Akila ma no 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 center de kaya. Ora baba bakata ta shete tete. O ti 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 kia na hatana. Ha 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 ha. Ierre bebe kara ma hashanta rakia. Hana Mashiach.
May his anointing be upon you, and may his angels visit with you, and may you have remembrance of what you've seen and what you've felt and what you have received. And the byproduct is that Jesus Christ will be declared holy inside of you and transforming you from the top of your heads to the very bottoms of your feet. And even those who listen to this message, Father, give them the overflow in Jesus' name. And for Paul Keith Davis, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.